Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text today is the gospel reading from Luke chapter 14. Here, verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." In answer to that, Jesus tells a parable. And this parable is intended to help us understand what it is that we're called to and why it is that throughout this lifetime, we as the baptized children of God continue to pray like the last line of the hymn that you just sang. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus. As long as we're in this world, we're troubled by our temptations, by our past sins, by the things that surround us that fight against the faith, and of course by Satan himself. And this prayer can never be far from our lips, because we never are free from those things as long as we're in this sinful world. So this parable that Jesus gives is a warning to keep in mind who it is and where we are. We may think at times that we've got everything set in a nice, easy way, and we don't have to think about our faith much and just get on with life. But Jesus tells this parable so that we do keep these things in mind. In this parable, a great man gives a great banquet. After all, the way this is described, this is not just your local block party or just a few friends gathering on Friday night to watch a ball game. This is a great banquet. He announces it beforehand. This is the way things were done in those days. You didn't go to the store and buy meat off the counter. You prepared for it by making sure you had your animals slaughtered and everything in place, that everything in your house was set up to receive all these other great people that you're inviting. So you let them know when this is going to be. And the response normally would be, "Yes, that's great, we'll be there." But when it came actually for the time, they didn't have save the date postcards in those days, but they knew when it was going to be. When it actually came for the time, suddenly there's all these excuses. "I just bought a house over the phone. Now I need to go and look at that neighborhood and check out and make sure it's okay. So, sorry, I won't be there. I just bought 5 pieces of equipment for my business off of the internet. I better go make sure that they're going to work. Sorry, I won't be there. I just got married. You understand, I won't be there." The people who were invited considered themselves to be on the same level as the great man who invited them. And in fact, what it is they're doing is they're insulting him and saying he's just not worth their time. If he really was interested in them, he would invite them another time. Wouldn't it be more convenient? The children of Israel were led by God out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, out of slavery. They were led through the wilderness. They were brought into the promised land. They were settled there by God's action. They took over the cities that were there. They took over the property that was there and the vineyards and the olive groves and everything that was there. And it was presented to them. They saw how God protected them at various times. But they also tended to take the attitude that it's kind of like, what was his name? Crocodile Dundee in the movie where he talks about, "Yeah, me and God, we're mates." He's on familiar terms with the Almighty. And so God understands if he's not in church or if he's playing a little fast and loose with the commandments. That ended up being the attitude for many in Israel. And the warning for us is that we in the church can unfortunately take up some of the same ideas. "I was baptized. this church was started by my great-great-grandfather. I'll be here after you leave, Pastor. Those are the kind of things that get said when people are not particularly fearful, I guess is still the best word, of who God is and what it is required of him in order to save us. That our situation was so dire, we could not help ourselves, and it took God to do something about it. This image of a great banquet comes up in Scripture in a variety of places. One of those that is used quite often during the Easter season comes up in Isaiah chapter 25. Now in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wine well-aged, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined, well-aged wines. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is not just some ideal to aim for in the future. This is what God has promised us. This is the reality that will be ours as his people in heaven, to be in perfect fellowship with him in the presence of the Holy Triune God. And that all of this is possible because the Lord God has worked this out in the person and work of his Son, our Lord Jesus. This is not to be taken for granted. We can't simply run down through a laundry list and say, yeah, I was baptized, I was confirmed, I've been in church, you know, at the important times, Christmas and Easter and so on. We do not have the privilege of taking God lightly. And so this parable is not just for those people who were arrogant in the first century, but it's also for us and to call us to repentance when we think that we've got God in our back pocket, that everything is going along just fine, and I don't need to think about him. We cannot ignore our Lord Jesus and what he's done for us, and we cannot forget the fact that this is the most wonderful thing that God could ever do for us. To work out in the life of his own Son our salvation, to send his Son to the cross so that he suffers in our place, so that he, the Lord Jesus, takes all of our sin upon himself. And so God the Father calls us to a new life. This is why we've been baptized, so that we have this new life in Christ Jesus. God doesn't owe us this, but out of his love and mercy, he acts in order to bring it about. At the time of Jesus, the leaders of Israel snubbed him. They were critical of him. They certainly didn't like the fact of all the people that were attracted to him, tax collectors, sinners, and all sorts of characters. But Jesus continued to call all people, the high and the low, the weak and the strong, to follow him. And yet, the tax collectors and other sinners became the excuse for the leaders of Israel to have nothing to do with Jesus. So Jesus, out of his mercy, called even more tax collectors and sinners to join him. That's the reference in verse 21. The master of the house says, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Even more tax collectors and sinners are called to listen to our Lord Christ and to find in him our salvation. Then the word comes, there's still room. So they go out and they compel even more people to come in. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. The socially unfit, the unworthy, the unimpressive, the weak, the injured. Those who think they are not worthy are being called to see that in Christ Jesus, their worthiness has already been established. We constantly think of the word worthy as meaning I am good enough, I am morally good enough. It even spills over into Holy Communion. We talk about worthy communicants. It's not because I have been morally worthy and I've kept myself clean ever since the last time that I took Holy Communion. That's not what the word means. Picture a balance beam. Used to have it in a marketplace. I think you can go to the Middle East and still find that sort of thing. But a balance beam in which they would put certain weights in one side of it, it would go down. Then the merchant would pour spices or whatever it is you were after into the platter on the other side. And when the balance beam was even, when it was straight across, then you were getting exactly what it was you were intending to have. Everything was equal. And so that's the word that's used here. It means not so much the idea of being worthy as it means, is it appropriate? Is it appropriate that the forgiveness of sins be given to sinners? Jesus says yes. Is it appropriate that God's people confess their sins and acknowledge what is wrong? Yes. This is what it means to be a worthy communicant. To find out that our Lord Jesus has done what is necessary to bring us into his fellowship. Because no matter what the weight of sins are, Jesus is on this side with us, and he makes everything even and appropriate. God in his mercy and grace has invited us to this eternal banquet. This is the heavenly meal and the fellowship that we're to have with him throughout all eternity. That means the Creator and the Redeemer calls us to be with him. That he wants us to take this to heart, not just to take it seriously, but also to take it so that we really appreciate it. Because this is the greatest thing that could ever happen to us. And we will celebrate in God's mercy for all eternity what it is that he's accomplished for us in Christ Jesus, because it's going to take all of eternity for us to really fathom what it is that he's done, just how lost we are and how much our Lord Jesus has done for us. And so we will celebrate with Christ in his victory over everything that threatens us now in this lifetime, not just with a bad life, but with death and eternal damnation. He will, like it said in that reading from Isaiah, wipe away all our tears and fears because of our sins and our disobedience. Everything that has kept us separated from our Heavenly Father, that is what our Lord Christ has come to take up. So instead of scolding us and rebuking us, God embraces us in the love that he shows us in Christ Jesus. That's why in verse 23 in this text, when it says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. These are the people in the countryside who have no other place to go. And I think you would probably say here, the Gentiles. Those of us who have no physical relationship to Abraham. Because we're saved by God's grace, not by race. God gives us what he knows we need the most. The forgiveness of his own dear son. And although we're not worthy, and although we cannot make ourselves worthy, God in his grace calls us in Christ Jesus. That's what that reading from Ephesians was about before, that he breaks down the dividing wall that was there in the temple, where Gentiles could only go so far, and then the children of Israel could go in closer to the temple. That has now been removed in Christ Jesus himself. This is already expressed in our baptism in the gift of the Holy Spirit. God is preparing a banquet hall for us, even as Jesus says he goes to prepare a place for us. And so to that end, he continues to call us to repentance and reveal to us our need for a Savior, and that he's given us that Savior in Christ Jesus. So we take up our crosses in this lifetime, acknowledging what is wrong and acknowledging that we're only pilgrims moving through this life, looking for a better land, looking for a better place. That we continue to be nourished on the way through God's word and sacrament, and that what was spoken in verse 15 really is true. Whether this fellow really understood all what he was saying or not, I don't know. What we do know is it does apply to us as believers in Christ. Blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. The Father's heart is expressed to us in the death and resurrection of his Son, in all that our Lord Jesus has done for us for our salvation. And so the call goes out near the end of the book of Revelation. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. God is preparing us for that. We continue to pray in this lifetime, have mercy upon us, O Jesus, and we know that our prayer is heard because our Lord Christ has come for us. May our Heavenly Father preserve us in this faith now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.